Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 21st, episode 770, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Yes, that's right. You heard it. It's Monday morning. It's post-birthday weekend, Monday morning hangover for me, although I'm not hungover. But you get what I mean. So I hope everybody is going into work excited and ready to begin the week, because I just wanted to let everybody know I've been getting a lot of emails and questions, and just got a Facebook message on asking how Jet is doing, and he is home, he is safe and happy, and I rode him last night for the first time since since he got back from his colic episode at the clinic. So yes, it's Monday morning, but I have a bright new outlook on things. Things are moving up. I have to compete him in 2 weeks in Galway, so I hope he's doing better. We're going to be the least fit and most unprepared at Galway Downs, but that's okay. I'm going.
He's up for it. I mean, did he ride okay? Is he showing any signs?
Yeah, you know what? Obviously if he was showing any signs, I wouldn't ride him, but I decided that what he needed to do was go have a nice fun ride, and I wasn't going to drill him in dressage or jump him in show jumping, so I just took him out on the trail, and we have a couple open fields that I passed through, and for the first time ever, I just chucked the reins at him, and I was like, okay, bud, whatever you want to do, and he flew across the desert twice, and galloped faster than I've ever let him gallop before, and for the first time in a gallop in the desert, he did not try to buck me off. So it was a big day. No bucking at all. I'm like, did that colic, when they pumped you and they put all that oil in it and you pooped out all that oil, did you poop out all the bucking too? We shall see.
Maybe he's like our greyhound. Our greyhound has to go out like twice a week and just run her little legs off. Maybe that's what he needs.
Maybe. Well, I've got about 2 weeks to get fit for a international horse trial training level course, so let's see how that goes. We'll have to run and watch.
You know what I think causes the ulcers is the dressage. I think if they didn't have dressage, I think we should make dressage illegal, because obviously it affects horses negatively.
It's super stressful. You're right.
I just give you permission to go to cross country and stadium. I declare it.
So when the judge says, ma'am, you're not allowed here because you didn't do dressage, I'll be like, no. This guy named Glenn, he told me I could skip my dressage test because my horse has ulcers.
It's bad for my horse.
Yeah.
It causes ulcers.
Exactly. Hey, do you know what happens if for 6 days in a row you take a deworming tube to your horse's mouth? They get really upset. So this whole 28 days on GastroGuard thing That's pretty challenging. I'm not going to lie. He almost broke the cross ties again when he saw me coming. I was like, okay. I'll untie you. Let's go out to the pasture. We'll get some grass. We got him. But I'm going to have to be really creative for the next, like, 22 days of this. I can't believe I have to do 22 more tubes. It's ridiculous.
I thought about that when you said that. I thought, what horse is going to put up with that for 22 days? Especially Jen.
Yeah. Exactly. He doesn't put up with anything for 22 days, much less me sticking a tube up his throat and putting a bunch of crap in his mouth. Yeah,
well,
I'm sure it
tastes wonderful. I'm sure it just tastes wonderful. Yeah.
You know what? When you take the cap off the top of it and you put the cap in your mouth because you've got to reuse the syringe or whatever, you can taste Gastroguard, and you're right. It's not good. It's pretty horrible. And you can't get it out of your mouth. It doesn't matter how many beers you drink that night. You are still going to taste it.
It's the horse version of haggis. Horse haggis.
Gross. I'm sure that's some sort of dead animal product.
It is, yeah.
Jennifer, what's up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Mirthful Monday edition, following a recap of everyone's weekend adventures and a few mentionable horse headlines, Hunter Jumper folks, heads up, because Diane Little is here for her monthly helpful tip. And rounding out our hangover day, the Wacky World of Horse Nation, brought to you by High Visibility Products, has the opening laugh track for the week. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
All right, Daily Winnie time. My Daily Winnie goes to 18-year-old Jackie Donahue, who was the winner of the Wild Mustang Million Horse Competition in Fort Worth, Texas this year. She received $10,000 for that. There was a lot of competition with the Mustang Million this year. And she had a horse named Calibrated Cadenza, kind of gold name, and she did a good job with him, spent the whole summer with him, went down there and won the competition. She said she's going to do it again. She absolutely loves breaking Mustangs, and she said that this one was one of the easier ones that she has done. She actually has been riding horses since she was 4 and taming wild Mustangs since she was 14. So congratulations to Jackie Donahue for that.
Yeah, that's not something that you hear. I've been taming wild Mustangs since I was 14. Really? That's pretty amazing.
Apparently she does a good job at it, too.
I know, right? That's not something you hear most 14-year-olds say. Anyway, good for her. My Daily Winnie goes out to Jan Binney. I thought, am I saying her name right? That's such a crazy spelling for her last name. It's B-Y-Y-N-Y. It's Jan Binney. In midair won the Fair Hill CCI 3-star this past weekend at Fair Hill. And Buck Davidson came in second. Will Coleman was in third. Doug Payne in fourth. Kim Severson in fifth. And then Ellen Doty, who is a girl that I met a while ago here in Arizona when she was competing at Coconino. And Sir Oberon just came in sixth place in the Fair Hill 3-star. And I actually groomed for her in her first ever training 3-day with Sir Oberon or Obi. So just awesome to see her name up here with the likes of Buck Davidson, Will Coleman, Doug Payne, Kim Severson, and then Ellen. So congratulations to everybody at Fair Hill. Apparently Ellen has now qualified for Rolex. So good luck to her. And keep going, girl. That's awesome.
Very good. That's really cool. Well, I wanted to have a clarification here. I posted a video over the weekend from our friend Scott Trees, who's one of the top equine photographers in the world, been on the show many times, been on all our shows many times, as a regular guest here and a good friend of the Horse Radio Network. And every year he goes out for something in Colorado called the Sombrero Drive. And I posted a video on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning of the Sombrero Drive, which is when the people from Big Gulch Ranch move their horses from the winter pastures, and they move them down through town. They've been doing this for almost 40 years. They move them through the little town of Maybell and then out to where the summer pastures are. And when they get out to the summer pastures, they do all the worming and they they geld the ones that need gelded and, you know, they give them their shots and everything. And then they train them up and they go out to work at ranches and riding programs throughout Colorado. But this has become a thing, and they actually have the Equestrian Photographer Association sells tickets to photographers. This is one of the biggest things a equine photographer wants to do every year is go on this four-day drive where they move these horses. And I thought it was really, really cool, and there were some interesting things about the video. One was how well the horses stayed toward the yellow line in the middle of the road. And,
yeah.
You know, they just, like, hugged that yellow line in the middle of the road. And it is really cool seeing 700 horses go by. By the way, that's a lot of horses. But then I started reading some of the comments, and I just want to assure everybody, no, these horses were not going to – apparently we become very cynical in this society and automatically assume that if something like this happens, it's a bad thing. So it's not a bad thing. The horses are not going to slaughter. They're just moving them from one place to another. It became a tradition to move them through town. Horses can trot on macadam and do it without hurting themselves. Yes, there might have been two or three lame ones out of 700 that are just coming out of a winter pasture. You're going to have a couple lame ones.
I've only seen two lame ones so far. I'm watching it right now. There was one paint who was really lame, and then there's another. But, again, they're going to check them out, you know.
When they get to where they're going is when they do the checking, you know, when they check them out. Heck, I can't put three horses in a pasture without one of them coming up lame. So
yep.
I think it's pretty good that we have 700 and I only see a couple lame ones. But I just, you know, there are a lot of, and I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody, but stop being so cynical.
Yeah,
it's a cool thing to watch.
It's beautiful to watch, and it's amazing. And the fact that these horses all have happy homes and are being used is a fantastic thing about it. The horse people that are associated with them are obviously good horse people, or they wouldn't be able to drive them so calmly down the road. I find it incredibly amazing if you watch the video on how horses of the same color stick together. There'd be like a group of pink horses, a group of white horses. Like, tell me horses aren't racist. I mean, they hang out with their own kind.
Did you notice the clicks, too? There'd be 10, 15 horses together, a gap, 10, 15 horses together. They're definitely in clicks. You could tell they sort of have their little groups.
And in the clicks, there's always, like, the white girls hanging out with the white girls, and then the black horses hanging out with the black horses, and the pink horses are relegated off to the side, and God forbid there's a draft horse. Nobody talks to him.
You know, it did appear that there was one big draft horse that was by himself, didn't it?
Yes, every time there was a draft horse that trotted by, he felt so dang sorry for it. It's like that cartoon was like, ugh. Somebody closed the door, and they let a draft in here. And it's actually a draft horse walking through the barn.
All right, so if you were a little skeptical of the video because you didn't know what it was, go back and watch it again, knowing that the horses are going to get medical care when they arrive at their next location. So, okay. All right, had to get that out of the way. Well, you got to, as we talked about at length on Friday, you got to spend your birthday on Saturday with one of our good friends, Templeton Thompson, and some of your friends celebrating your birthday. So tell us all about birthday day.
Oh, my gosh, it was so fun. Well, I got up that morning and rode Edward, and Chad videoed me taking him through some gymnastics. I'll post that later on. It was really fun. So I had my birthday ride. Everybody should ride on their birthday and do whatever they want to on their birthday. So I rode Edward, then I went inside and I took a nap. And then I got up and meanwhile, Chad's watching.
That's a treat right there.
That was a total treat. And taking a nap, and then he cleaned the pasture, which is also a treat. And then when we got dressed and we were going to dinner, he kept going, let's go. I'm like, we have plenty of time. He's like, I don't want to be late. Well, what I didn't know was that he was planning on taking a detour to the local tack shop where I needed a new bridle for cross country. And he zipped in, just ducked to the right, and went in, and I got a brand new bridle for my birthday. So that was very exciting. Good husband. And then went to dinner with our friends and then went up and met went to the place where Templeton Thompson was playing, and it was a beautiful clothing store, but they have, like, an outside patio area, and it was between big oak trees, and her and Sam were set up and just played song after song, and it was just so cool. And Lucas was fascinated. We sat right in the front for the second half of the show, and he sat there in my arms staring at her. I think it's the first girl he's ever been in love with was Templeton Thompson. And she kept staring at him like, oh, my God. I mean, it was so cute. People were watching us. I'm sure they saw us coming in, and they were like, oh, God, why did somebody
always
have
to bring a kid?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He didn't fuss one time. He's really actually good because we take him everywhere. And he was riveted by the concert. Templeton sang me Happy Birthday, which, God, I wish I would have recorded. It was as amazing as Marilyn Monroe singing Happy Birthday, Mr. President. It was so good. And then she got everybody to sing along, and it was really sweet, and she was so sweet. And she actually stopped the concert at one point and thanked everybody and then talked about us. So we should have some new listeners this morning because everybody was asking me how to download the app and where they can find it. And since we play Tempe music, everybody wants to hear us, you know. So it was great. I bought every CD she had, and it was an awesome night. She's awesome.
Yeah, she is good in concert. And Sam's, did you get to say hi to Sam? He's a sweetheart, too. Nice guy.
What a cool guy. And you know what? His music, it was like they kind of went back and forth singing songs. And he is so fantastic. He has some songs that I was like, dude, this is a smash country hit. You need to, actually, in the middle of the concert, I'm like, you need to sell that one to Blake. And he's like, oh, that's a great idea. Like, Blake Shelton should cover that song. Or, you know, they're in Nashville where it's very common for a songwriter like Sam or Tempe to sell their music to a Brad Paisley or a Blake Shelton or something like that and have it covered, just like we play some, you know, Garth Brooks music on here written by Dan Roberts. So, you know, I hear songs and I'm like, oh, you got to send that one to Blake. And so he's actually like, that's a great idea. I hadn't thought of that, you know, and it was – it's really cool. He did a song about fishing and a song about it was just a great concert. Sam was fantastic. I bought his CD too.
Funny songs too. Did he play any of his funny ones? He has some humorous songs that he does.
Yes, he writes some very funny songs, and he's just kind of a classic country music writer. I just can't imagine that we're not going to hear some of those songs soon by big country stars, and we're going to be like, we knew them when. They were really good. And Tempe, like I said, she can sing the dang phone book, and it would sound good. That girl is incredible. And you know what was really cool, too, is I was not the only one who was infatuated with Girls and Horses. That song seemed to be by far her most popular that she played. Believe it or not, mostly horse chicks at her concert. I know you're shocked. But she sang that, and you know what was really cool is we had the baby kind of off in the corner, and I guess that's where she ended up selling her CDs, and it was just cool to watch people come up to her, just like it did to me, and explain to her how her songs had changed their life. Imagine having a career where people just come up and tell you how much you mean to them and how much you have meant to their life, even without you doing anything directly to them. It was just a really beautiful thing to see these women go, that song changed my life, or that song saved me, or in any of the songs. And it must be the coolest part of being a musician to hear that kind of stuff.
Very good. Well, you know, that was the song that really brought her name out. She did it, and where it all started was at Briarfest. She was chosen to go to Briarfest and sing that song, and it all started from Briarfest years ago, and that's how she became popular in the horse world, was because of that one song at Briarfest. Somebody
cool.
did a video and ended up on YouTube and went viral, and that's how it all started.
Very cool.
Yep, very good. Well, I'm glad you had a good time. It was fun that she mentioned the show. That was fun, too. So hello to all our new listeners in Arizona this morning. We appreciate you being here. Sorry Sorry it's so early, but don't bother bitching about it because Jamie's been doing that for 2.5 years, hasn't
we have bitched enough. Now, what did you guys get into this weekend? I think you guys did some volunteering or something.
Yeah, we went to the Fall Fling at the Florida Horse Park, which is an HDT, which is a horse driving trial. It's sort of like your lower level event, you know, trials. It's 2 days. They do dressage and cones the one day. Cones obstacles the one day. And then the next day they do their marathon where they go out and they do the obstacles in the marathon course. And we volunteered to be out at one of the obstacles. We were at the last obstacle, obstacle number 6. And part of the reason we went over is they were asking for help, and it's not too far from us, the Florida Horse Park, which is a beautiful horse park. It's very much different than the Kentucky Horse Park. It's all open. There's not a lot of buildings, and it's just open, large space. And very conducive to having these kind of events at it. If you follow me, Glenn the Geek, on Facebook, I posted a picture of one of those quadcopters in a flyover of the horse park as they were set up for the weekend show. So that was kind of cool, but I can't get the video to upload to our Horses in the Morning page. So
What is a quadcopter?
Those are those little helicopters they put high-definition cameras on. They're tiny little helicopters, and they actually, it's called a quadcopter because they have 4 rotor blades, and they can hover, and they can fly around, and it's like a drone is what it is. They call them quadcopters because they have 4 blades, and they're only about this little bigger than a shoebox, and they fly around remote control with little remote control, and they can fly over events and videotape events as they're going on. They're starting to use them at horse events now on the cross country course and for different things that require that, you know, aerial shots are cool. And they put high definition cameras on them and they're really neat, really neat photography. If you check out the one I posted there, you'll see it. It's really cool what they can do with them.
That's awesome. Can they use these like in war and like go to Afghanistan?
They use them in war. That's where it started. And then some guys just started building their own, and now they actually sell them for about $1,000. You can buy your own and put your camera on it and go flying around. So they are neat. They are pretty cool how they fly. But anyway, I got to geek out. I had the best job at the obstacle we were at. I was the timer, which meant I had 2 stopwatches, a cell phone, and a walkie-talkie. How cool is that for me? That's the perfect job for me. Had all the toys, and I got to sit there, and I got to just time people, and then I took a lot of pictures, too. So I had the best job. Jen was an observer. She had to watch as they go through the gates, make sure they do it in the right order and all that. That was way too much for my ADD. So I said, I'll be the timer and play with the toys. So I was in heaven. I got to play with the toys and watch carriages all day. I loved it.
Let's be honest. The question on everybody's mind right now is,
yes,
were you wearing a fanny pack?
No, I was not wearing a fanny pack. Have a pocket protector, I'll have you know. Neither one.
No. Just with all that gear, it's like, where'd you put my wallet? Just stuff everything in the fanny pack. Clip the walkie-talkie on the side of the fanny pack. You have everything at your fingertips, man. Fingertips.
You know what has replaced fanny packs for geeks is cargo shorts.
Oh.
That has replaced fanny packs for geeks, yes, cargo shorts. Work great. I love my cargo shorts. So anyway, Jennifer got to be the observer and figure all that out. It's kind of hard being the observer. You know, when you're the observer or the judge, the official at a jump on an eventing course, it's pretty easy. They jumped it, they didn't jump it, they circled it, or they fell off. I mean, there's only so many options, right? But when you're doing all of these obstacles on a driving show like that, where they do several gates, some of them 4 or 5 gates within an obstacle, and they can only go within a certain way, and they can't go through the gate, you know, before they were due, and it's weird how all the different rules they have, and if they stop, what happens? And you have to follow their progress through, and you have to chart all that. And it's not easy being an observer at Jennifer will tell you. You had a couple that were interesting that you had to call the TD over.
Yes, there are rules to beat the band. There's just so many rules so that when they send the observers out, they just give us a general overview and sort of the five most common mistakes that we have to watch for. So anytime somebody does anything that isn't covered by those five rules that we do have, we have to call over the technical delegate, who we called the boss. She was wonderful. And she makes a call on whether or not it's an actual error, and she takes care of all the paperwork part of it. But I think, unfortunately, that our obstacle, we had to call the boss over more than anybody else. We were high maintenance.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those, Jamie, and you'll understand this. It was one of those obstacles, the last obstacle, and it was fairly straightforward. And isn't it always, like, when you're jumping cross-country, the jumps you go, oh, this is easy, I'm not going to think too much about that one, go on to the next one. You worry about the more difficult ones, and it's the easier ones that trip you up. And that's what happened here. It was almost all the drivers that got tripped up said, you know, I didn't pay much attention to it because it was pretty straightforward. And then they got there and went, oh, I don't know where to go.
That sucks. That sucks. It's like you jumped the wrong jump at the last jump of the course. You always jump the wrong jump, you know? Not always.
Yeah.
People do.
Yes.
Exactly. I've never done that, though.
No,
never.
I'm sure you've never gotten lost on cross country either, have you?
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
I don't think you can be an adventurer without having gotten lost at cross country at some point.
No, it happens. It happens. Especially when it's frustrating when you come galloping up and you're like, the jump's in front of you, and you go, that's not my jump. that's not my jump. So, yeah, it's always exciting. Hey, I did post a video of my birthday ride on Edward. He's actually jumping a little bit. So, y'all be kind. I do still have a bit of a belly. I did give birth 4.5 months ago, and the abs are slowly coming back, but they say give yourself 9 months. You got to take 9 months to get there. It's going to take 9 months to get back. So be kind, Glenn, when you're looking at me jump these jumps.
When are you going to learn that when you post these videos, nobody looks at the rider? They're always looking at the horse.
So I should be good? So I don't know.
Yeah, you're fine.
The crystal clear part when I canter by, that's like, oh, my God, suck in your gut. So I'm still working on it.
Well, I'm
my own worst
critic. You always are. I mean, that's true. Everybody is, so. Well, let's do a story or two before we get on with the guest, as Jennifer's lining up our guests for the day. You know, we always do rescue stories, and now we have a show once a month with Dr. G talking about animal rescue, and we don't do rescue stories anymore unless they're unusual because there's just so many of them. Well, I got an unusual one for you this morning, Jamie. And we used to live in Plymouth, Massachusetts for about a year. And Plymouth, Massachusetts is along the coast of Massachusetts, Plymouth Rock, you know, right below Boston. And it's a very pretty town, right on the water, some nice restaurants that overlook the water. It's pretty cool that way. And the one thing that's all around Plymouth, Massachusetts are cranberry bogs. Well, a lot of people don't understand that cranberry bogs, they see that commercial with the two guys standing in the cranberry bogs and all the cranberries floating, right? Well,
right, there's a commercial. It's a cranberry juice commercial or whatever, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, they don't grow. What I didn't know is I always thought, well, they grow them in water, right? They don't grow them in water. The cranberry bogs are dry, and the only time there's water involved is when they flood them, and that's how they harvest them. The cranberries rise to the top. So, that's how they do it. That's how they harvest them, and then they have this big machine that comes along and just scrapes them off the top of the water. That's how they do it. So we didn't know that before. Well, this is the time of year when they do it. They have big cranberry festivals up there and all that kind of stuff. Well, apparently Romney, a horse from near Plymouth, Massachusetts, got stuck in the drainage ditch of the cranberry bog, and took them 30 minutes of struggle with pulleys and a hoist to get Romney freed, and apparently he was uninjured and he was fine. A little bit muddy, but he was uninjured and he was fine, and it looks like from the picture, a lot of the firemen ended up a little bit muddy too. So, but they got Romney out of the cranberry bog, he has a new affection for cranberry juice, apparently.
Yeah, no, he's afraid of it now. Stuff will suck you in. Don't look.
So let's add that, Jennifer, to the book of rescues that we now had a horse stuck in the cranberry bog. So you
Got
can
it.
Add that one.
Cranberry bog.
All right, let's Let's take a break before our first guest here, talking a little bit about training. Coming up here in just a minute with Diane Little of Piece by Piece Farm. But first, let's hear from our title sponsor, Omega Alpha.
The leg bone connected to the thigh bone is a humerus reminder of how things are connected and dependent on each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
That's right. Omega Alpha Equine is the place. And I'm actually now, Jen, starting Jet on Biotic 8 again. He had that when we first did the ulcer treatment. So I figure it's time again to put him on Biotic 8 and get things moving. So now his whole entire diet has changed, Jen. Now he's on the beet pulp, shredded beet pulp, with the biotic aid and the electrolytes throughout the week. Yeah. So, and by the way, he does not love the beet pulp.
That's what seems to be an acquired taste, because both of our horses eat large quantities of beet pulp, and both of them, when we first started them on it, they kind of went, ew, you really expect me to eat that? It must be the broccoli of the horse diet, because it really is an acquired taste.
You know what we did, though, Jamie, that solved the problem? Is we bought some alfalfa cubes, the little cubes, and we just add 4 or 5 alfalfa cubes to the beet pulp, and then when you put the water in and let it grow, they eat it right up now.
That sounds awesome, except for Jet's allergic to alfalfa. So,
well, that won't work.
Of course.
Forget
he
that
is.
Idea.
Of course he, exactly. I mean, why wouldn't he be? Can't have a bite of alfalfa, or guess what? He colics. So,
forget that idea.
I love that idea, though, Glenn. Thank you very much. Maybe I can get some hay cubes, just some Bermuda hay cubes or something like that.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, well, our next guest is on the line is Diane Little, and she's got her jumping tip of the month. Diane, of course, is from Piece by Piece Farm. And, Diane, we say good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
We're doing great. We actually have a listener question for you this week, and this is a question that, you know, I have a bunch of students, and you take them all to the horse show for the first time, and for some reason, sometimes you forget to go over this at home, and then you're like, okay, do a warm-up circle. And so the question actually is I see some riders do their warm-up circle. This is when they're going in for their test, for their jump course. And they circle up to half of the arena, weaving between jumps as they go, and then others do a tiny little circle right near the first jump. Are there rules about how big and or where you should do a warm-up circle before a hunter round? And that question was submitted by Beth Ann. So, Diane, what do you think?
So, it was kind of a hard question to answer because it all rings are a little bit different and set a little bit different. But I agree with her that it can be very confusing, and that I actually was just at a horse show on Saturday and my kids were confused about if they should do a circle, if they shouldn't do a circle and whatnot. So, I mean, number one, it just depends on where the course starts, in that, you know, where the in gate is. If you walk into the in gate and your course starts on the other side of the arena, you're going to trot directly across the diagonal or directly up a quarter line, pick up your canter down at the other end, and then keep going. So in that situation, you wouldn't make a circle. You would just trot them across the arena, either quarter line, diagonal, whatever makes the most sense. But if the jumps start kind of towards the in gate, then absolutely yes, you have to make a circle. I would say the correct way would be to kind of use that like top quarter of the arena. You don't want to go all the way to the middle. You don't want to be like one big, huge circle using half of the ring. You want to have a nice, round circle so that you can get that nice medium canter going to approach your first jump.
Okay, so are there rules where in certain arenas you could get eliminated for doing the wrong circle, or is it pretty crystal clear before you go in?
I think it's pretty crystal clear before you go in. I think the hardest part is kind of, there's a jump here, there's a jump there, which track makes the most sense. I think that's where people get thrown off. But as long as you kind of look at the ring before you walk in, usually there's a pretty clear marked track that you can take in order to get to your first jump.
Okay, so kind of do what the person in front of you did kind of thing?
Yep. I think that's the best way of going about it.
Okay. So just watch the rider in front of you, and if you're the first one of the day, sucks for you. No, I'm just kidding.
I think sometimes it's so easy to overthink those things and to get nervous about those things, and I'm always just like, relax. You'll be fine. We'll talk about the plan. We'll look at the arena, see how the jumps are set. I'll give you a good idea of where to go, and then, continue for your course. They set these rings in order to make it so that everything can be smooth. So I'm sure when you look at the ring, you'll find a nice, smooth track.
Yeah, sounds good. Now, the other question to me that's related to this when you talk about warm-up is, okay, I'm an eventer, and when we have our warm-up fences outside of the arena, they're all flagged. Red on the right, there's a flag on the right that's red, and then there's a white flag on the left, and that tells you the direction to jump it. What the hell do I do in a hunter ring?
I was glad that we got there, because from that question, I actually was going to go more to the warm-up than a warm-up circle, because I think warm-up is much more complicated than the circle you have in the arena. In the hunter jumper world, there are sometimes they have the flags up depending on the horse show, but many, many oftentimes they do not. So number one, you want to teach everyone left hand to left hand. That's just kind of an easy rule to follow, in that when you pass someone, your left hand should be able, I mean, you shouldn't be this close, but the idea is that, if you gave them a high five, it would be your left hand to their left hand. So that gives you a good idea of at least which side to go on if you guys are coming at each other the same direction. When it comes to the warm-up jumps, I do encourage the kids to call out their jumps. Absolutely. Sometimes you might feel a little bit ridiculous, but it's better for people to know where you're going than for someone to end up in front of you. And it's a really, I think it's actually kind of, it can be a good experience for the younger kids, for whatnot, the people that haven't shown that much, in that it teaches you to ride with a little bit of a softer eye. It's so easy in riding to get fixated on one jump or fixated on your horse's neck, or fixated on just one thing, when really some of the best riders are the ones that are able to kind of keep that softness in their eye. They can see what their horse is doing. They can be aware of what's around them. They can kind of feel kind of where they're going to need to be in order to keep themselves, away from other people. So I actually think it's a good experience, and the most important thing is to, number one, try to keep that soft eye, stay aware, and also be vocal. Tell people where you're going. There's nothing wrong with trying to kind of tell someone the track that you're taking.
Right. No, there's nothing better than being in a – first of all, keep your eyes up, kids. That's basically – she says soft eye, I say look up. Don't stare in the back of your horse's head. And the other thing is, the chaos around a warm-up area when they're like, vertical, upstairs. So just, you have to listen to everybody else too. So keep that soft eye and pay attention and listen to everybody. When are they going to go, Diane, to the only jump fences one direction thing? I mean, how long does it take? Go. We got to get back.
There is no, I've been in a Grand Prix ring and there's no flags, what I mean? Like, there isn't really necessarily one level where it's like, boom, there's flags up. I would say as the level gets bigger, as the jumps get higher, you know, they tend to shop them more. But in general, there's really an overall eventing. They're so good about having the flags up. That's the way you jump it. Hunter Jumper World, it's really hit or miss with whatever show you go to. And, you know, the shows, I think, do it if they only have, like, one schooling ring for three rings. They put the flags up because they know they're going to be bombarded with a ton of riders all at once. But if they have a couple schooling rings, one for each ring, they tend to be a little bit more lenient on which way you can go.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, listen, if you guys have any questions for Diane, where can people get a hold of you to ask you these questions?
If they go to my website, www.dilittle.com, there's a kind of a questions page where you could write it in. Or my email is dibinswanger@gmail.com, which if you guys, I'll give it to you guys. If anybody wants to shoot me an email, they can always contact you and give them that email address.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. Well, Diane Little from Piece by Piece Farm, what is your next big show coming up?
That's a good question. We are going to the New Jersey Horse Park in a couple of weeks. We're going, I think, Woodage at the New Jersey Horse Park runs in a couple of weeks, so we're going to go there. I'm hoping to go down south over the winter. You know, it's getting colder, so the shows are dying down a little bit, but we're staying as active as we possibly can.
Cool. That's fantastic. Well, good luck. I hope you do get to go south for the winter. I'm sure everybody listening in New Jersey is jealous because we do have a large contingent in New Jersey, and they're all, like, going to hide in your trailer, so you may want to look for stowaways. but, Diane, thank you very much. And we will talk to you again next month with your jumping tip of the month for November.
Thank you so much.
All right, Diane. Bye-bye.
Well, let's take a break for... Yeah.
There you go. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say let's take a break for our Fleeceworks commercial here today and also a song. I thought I'd give you something other than Tempe today. So we have a little Dan Roberts in Tucumcari Woman, and we'll be back after that. We have Leslie Wiley coming up. We have a bunch of news coming up and maybe a little bit of Halloween, too. So we'll be back in a few minutes.
Fleeceworks is proud to announce its latest offering for Western enthusiasts, the Square Wool Underpad. Developed with input from extreme cowboy racing champion Robin Bond, the Fleeceworks 100% Merino Wool Underpad is designed so a Navajo blanket can be used over top, allowing for the custom look you want for competition, while providing your horse the thermal balancing advantages of Fleeceworks 100% Merino Wool. Fleeceworks Western pads even include removable viscoelastic inserts. Of course, Fleeceworks continues to be your go-to brand for the finest in wool accessories, from grooming mitts that bring out your horse's natural shine to halter and cribbing collar covers that look as beautiful as they fit. Ask for Fleeceworks products at your local tack and feed stores, or you can visit them online at fleeceworks.com.
Texas for the Fort Worth Rodeo. To come carry, to come carry, to come carry, woman, I want to carry you home. To come carry, woman, well, I guess I better go. Guess your heart's been roped and branded by some lucky Navajo. To come carry, to come carry, to come carry, woman, I guess I'll be riding alone. To come carry, woman, I wish I could carry you.
Well, that was Tucumcari Woman by Dan Roberts. You can find all of Dan's music at oldbootsmusic.com. That's oldbootsmusic.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair today. Welcome back to the show. We appreciate you taking time out to be with us here. A couple of notes for this week's schedule is Lindsay White from Riders for Helmets will be with us tomorrow on a once-a-month safety day that we're adding to the lineup here. On the Horses in the Morning with some amazing stories of survival and some terrific guests. So she's going to be joining us here tomorrow, Tuesday morning. And then Thursday morning, Karen McCurtry of Hawks Flight Farm is back with another Arab Day here on Thursday, talking all about Arabians. So we have a full schedule lined up for you this week, so don't miss one single day. Some sad news out of the racing world today, Jamie, and that is Bellingham.
I know. I'm very sad. Apparently, you know, Dillingham's just retired, or Dillingham, however you say it, was just retired a couple months ago from racing, and he was going to start to become a breeding stallion this coming spring. Windstar Farm is where he was going to stand. And about 1 a.m. in the morning over the weekend, the night watchman noticed that Dillingham was sweating profusely. And, you know, it's Kentucky. It's a little chilly by now at night. So he called the manager. The manager immediately arranged to rush him off to the clinic. They rushed him to Haggard Davison McGee and then did a workup, determined he needed surgery. They took him to surgery immediately. Nothing could have been done, obviously, to get him there any quicker or make anything happen any faster. But the surgery revealed that his colon had ruptured. And obviously when that happened, everything inside the colon leaks out to outside the colon. And that's a significant contamination. So nothing could be done to save him. So sad enough, Dillingham was euthanized about 4:45 in the morning on Sunday morning. So we just, the best to them, they absolutely loved that horse. Oh, I'm sorry. He was retired October 14th. So he had just retired.
As a matter of fact, if you remember, he had a tendon or something injury for a while and was off and had come back. And then he actually had, let's see here, he won $1.7 million over his lifetime at this point.
Yeah, poor people. The owners and breeders are very sad because they had planned on seeing a bunch of, you know, baby Dillinghams running around. But Dale Romans was the trainer, and on their Facebook page, he wrote for Dillingham, "Thank you so much for your thoughts and sympathy for Dillingham. He was an incredible horse, full of personality and talent." And he goes on to say, you know, how it was the deepest sympathy to the owners and the breeders, and they love him, and thoughts and prayers are with him. You know, poor thing. Imagine having a horse that won that much money for you. You just retire him, and he passes away due to colic. Oh, what a heartbreaking thing.
I had forgotten that he was half-brother of Mind That Bird, the 2009 Kentucky Derby winner.
Oh yeah,
I had forgotten that he was out of Minding My Own. The bear was Minding My Own. Yeah, so well, we're sorry to hear that. But you know, colic is like heart attacks are to people. You hear about people having heart attacks. For us horse people, it's colic. You know, it's just that's our thing that we have to deal with on a daily basis, and you never know when it's going to hit.
Yeah, it's very, very sad. You know, you hear the word colic, and it could be anything from Jet's little minor, you know, minor gas colics to taking him into the clinic to something as obviously on the far end of the spectrum as this. So sad story, and, you know, someday.
The problem is you can't tell the difference a lot of times between those minor colics and then the major ones. You know, they look the
same.
Isn't
that the dang truth?
And that's what's so big, so heartbreaking about it all, and so hard to know what to do. Should I just wait a day? You know, should I give it time? Because that's always, you know, a lot of people, it's our tendency to go, well, you know, if we just wait an hour or two and see what happens. Like my mom saying, you just, you know, the cut doesn't, that 3-inch cut doesn't need, that she's got to play. So.
Yeah, exactly. It's a judgment call, and sadly, you know, for most of us, obviously for the owners and people around Doolahan, it's taken to the clinic. But for those of us who have a real life job and real life money to spend, it's a, give them an hour or two. Let's see what happens.
Right, exactly. Right. Well, I got some good news for you, some better news in the racing front, and that is football coach Bill Parcells, of course, of New York and the Patriots, Hall of Famer, got into, like has been the case with so many celebrities today, it seems to be the new in thing, a new thing to own racehorses. Well, Bill Parcells owns some racehorses, and one of his won over the weekend, a $250,000 race. It was the Empire Classic Handicap for New York-bred horses. And his horse was able to run away from the rest of the field. And the win for the horse is the horse's name. You're going to love this. It's one of the things caught my eye. Saratoga Snacks, S-N-A-C-K-S, Saratoga Snacks. So we congratulate Bill Parcells, and Saratoga Snacks currently has winnings of almost $500,000.
Well, I think it's great that it's going into the sports world, you know, it's becoming fashionable to own racehorses. That's fantastic. But when I did see this news story, and it was all it says is Bill Parcells owns a racehorse that wins or whatever, I'm like, who's Bill Parcells? I have no idea. So obviously the horse racing world in my brain needs to go over to the sports world and start to learn a couple people.
Bill Parcells only won like 3 Super Bowls while he was coaching.
Hey, well, all I watch is the commercials, so I don't know.
Hey, I got to tell you about, have you ever heard of the New Zealand game? You know how everybody, when they're growing up, I don't know how you were, but, you know, I had lots of brothers. So, and we took lots of road trips. So we were always playing little car games. You know, you count.
Punch buggy.
You do the license plates and all that stuff, and you do the alphabet. You try and find the alphabet and signs, all that. Well, there's a game in New Zealand called Horse. Have you ever played, heard of it?
No. You posted this in the show notes, and I have never heard of this ever.
Apparently, it's a popular New Zealand game, road trip game, called Horse. And what you do is, there are rules. Here are the rules. Number one, if you see a horse, you point to it and you yell out horse and you score 1 point. If you see a picture of a horse, you point it out and yell out picture of a horse and you score 10 points. If you see a cemetery, you point it out and yell bury all the horses and everyone else's scores reset to zero. Who invented this game?
I don't know, but I think it might possibly be one of the coolest games ever.
I don't know about the bury all the horses part. It's kind of disturbing. But there you go. That's pretty much as simple as the game gets. Now, there are some other rules that it goes into here, too, like does a Pegasus on the mobile station count as a horse? And they said, yes, Pegasus is simply a winged horse. So apparently you can count the mobile stations as you go by. And then, you know, it goes into what counts as a cemetery. There's all kinds of rules.
I think it's awesome. I mean, you, as a woman that's driving down the road, even if you're driving or in the passenger seat, any time there's a horse on the side of the road, we all stop and look. I mean, maybe not stop, but we all look. It's like seeing a car wreck on the other side of the freeway. We all slow down and try to look, and I always see horses. And so now the fact that I can make a game out of it and maybe punch Buggy my husband in the shoulder, horse, bam, I'm in. I want to play this game forever.
It's probably safer than Padiddles. Did you guys used to do Padiddles too when you were kids, teenagers?
What's Padiddles?
Oh, we don't need to explain it on the air. That's okay. We're going.
I was a girl. We didn't play those games. Whatever that is. It's probably a boy thing.
Well, girls were involved. Girls were involved. And anybody over 40 now is going, yeah, I know what that was.
Huh. Padiddles. I'm going to Google that just so. But I won't.
By the way, the Quarter Horse Congress is going on right now. Did you get to go to Quarter Horse Congress when you lived in Ohio?
I bought a horse trailer at Congress.
Oh, did you? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because that's where
there for sale.
I know, exactly. And then, of course, the one I wanted wasn't there, so they had to go get it. It's really all it basically was like a three-horse, four-horse stock trailer. So, I was like in my early 20s. It's all I could afford.
You could go to Quarter Horse Congress and literally spend days just going through all the horse trailers. I mean, they must have had 1,000 of them there for sale. So Quarter Horse Congress, I just wanted to say that that's going on right now, and you're still in the wrong business. They actually have a Western Pleasure class coming up this weekend that the total prize is $200,000 and guaranteed $50,000 for the winner. For a Western Pleasure class.
Wait, what? How much?
$200,000 Western Pleasure class with $50,000 guaranteed for the winner. You're in the wrong
business.
And
we're talking about Western Pleasure, is that when they go really slow, right?
Yeah, the one where they jog around in the group. Yeah.
It's almost like who can go backwards.
Yeah, exactly. Or who can go the slowest with their head down. That's exactly the one. And you can get $50,000 and win in that one.
That's crap.
You're in the wrong.
That is total.
You see, you need to put a Western saddle on Jet. Maybe you'd eliminate the altars. He'd find his little peaceful place with his head down, going as slow as possible.
Now, what do they do when your horse gallops by everybody else's slow horse, fighting them on the way past?
I think that's probably a penalty. That's probably a penalty.
Because that'd be awesome. I mean, I could totally pull that one off. Good Lord, $50,000 for that ridiculousness? Sorry if anybody, listeners, are actually Western Pleasure riders. But it's true. You guys, it's like a race to push the peanut along the ground. I mean, come on.
And we do pick on our own sports, too. So it's not like we're equal opportunity pickers.
Yeah, like I run around and do ridiculous stuff, and I don't get paid at all. And you guys as slow as you can and get $50,000. I am in the wrong damn business.
Yeah, who's the ridiculous one now?
I know, right? I got a couple stories for you, too, Glenn. One more racing story, actually.
Okay.
It's going to be sad because I know Jennifer especially was a huge fan of this horse, and we loved listening to this horse's name be called. I loved reading the headlines because they'd have headlines like, Kettle Corn sticks to rail, and now Kettle Corn has now been retired, Jennifer. I know it was one of your favorites. Yes.
We just started hearing about Kettle Corn. He's retired already?
I know. Well, we just started hearing about him, but he's been running a couple years now. And he's a graded stakes winner, and he had a sesamoid injury on his last race at Hollywood Park. And he stabled at Hollywood Park and sustained a fractured sesamoid. So no longer will Kettle Corn be running. He is probably going to either stand to stud in California or in the Midwest. So he's probably not a Kentucky horse, but we're going to hear some stuff from his babies, I swear.
They should have some cool names. We should get some cool names out of Kettle Corn.
Like, what could you come up with?
There's the obvious Caramel Corn.
Caramel Corn, oh, yeah, that's true.
Like
Sweet Corn.
Yeah, yeah.
Corn Dog.
I don't know if that's such a good name for a horse.
Corn Dog, that's good. I'm bad at this. I can't come up with one. See? Another racing story for you is Santa Anita is running right now, and their track announcer is a guy named Trevor Denman. Well, Trevor Denman is going to get a little bit of a break because somebody else is going to step up and call the second race at Santa Anita in just a couple days, October 25th. Guess who's going to call the race at the second race at Santa Anita?
Carrie Underwood.
No, you're never going to guess. So I'll just tell you. I don't know why I even gave you the chance. Conan O'Brien.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He might be good at calling a race, actually.
It's going to be funny no matter what. But, yeah, so Conan O'Brien is going to take over the second – I don't know why the second race, but he lives out here, and he is – they're basically trying to spread the word about the Breeders' Cup and the live racing at Santa Anita. So, awesome. They're going to let Conan call the second race. He said that he's given them some advice. Keep it simple and try to have fun with it. Well, of course, he's going to do that. So this, you've got to watch Conan O'Brien maybe the 26th, and they're going to have or leading up to it a little bit. I'll try to give you a heads up.
All right, good. That's cool. One of these days, Jamie, they're going to invite you to call a race.
And it's going to be like, and here comes number four. And number three is in the front. And number one is in the back. Yeah. Here comes number seven. Oh, wait, never mind. Wait, that's a four. Okay, is that a six? What is that, a three? Who's in the front?
Yeah,
we'd
have to get
so
a really, really good binoculars, I think.
The brown horse.
All right,
wait, is that white? Is it just dirty? I can't tell.
Let's go to our next guest here. Every Monday about this time, we bring on Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation with the Wacky World of Horses Report, and it is brought to you by High Visibility. High Visibility North America, the distributors for UK's number one high visibility performance sportswear range for equestrians, horses, and canines, called Equisafety. Equisafety is a supplier in the UK to numerous mounted police forces, thousands of equestrians, and even the Queen's Household Cavalry. The range is now available in the USA and Canada. The Equisafety range is not only functional, in that it will keep you safe, whether you're in the woods or during hunting season, which is coming up, or whether you're riding on the road or out on the trail, but is also fashionable, meaning everyone from eventers to dressage riders to Western riders will love it. Stephen Peters had it on last weekend at the Kentucky Horse Park. It looked good in it, too. The range has everything from winter jackets to lightweight vests suitable for year-round and has already appeared on riders such as Dan James from Rogue of the Horse and Kim Gentry, an FEI dressage rider. She wore it at Dressage at Devon, actually. So you can find all of their products, over at highvisibility.us.com. That's highvisibility.us.com. Or you can follow on Facebook. Just search for Equisafety to follow them on Facebook. And we thank them for sponsoring the Horse Nation Report with Leslie. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, guys.
Well, it's so good to talk to you again. And when I saw your first story here, I went there and I cracked up at the first one. And what I'm talking about is every once in a while, you like to follow some you get on Twitter when you have nothing better to do. And you search around Twitter and you find the funniest stuff. And this time you found a whole bunch of you can lead a horse to water one.
Yes, yes. You know, people are always putting just crazy stuff that just comes out of the weird, back of their brain on Twitter. I don't know why, but it cracks me up. So, So I just basically did a search for you can lead a horse to water on Twitter and came up with all of these variations on that theme.
I like the first one. Can I read the first one? Bio ears, put this one in. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him participate in synchronized diving.
That's true.
Very random.
You can lead a horse to water, but not downstairs. Back.
<That's
for sure. laughs> Oh, man. There's so many
good
ones.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him put on his bathing suit. I mean...
That is true.
Now, let me ask a question, because I'm not a Twitter person. So these are random people just randomly tweeting this stuff throughout the day.
Just super randomly, yep.
So do these people not have enough to do during the day? Do they people just write whatever pops in their head? Was it like a Twitter contest?
Well, you have to remember that the government was shut down and a lot of them were furloughed, so they had nothing better to do.
Good point.
You know, my favorite one of these is, you can lead the horse to water, but try getting him to lend you $20. Never going to happen.
There's a lot of, too, and I know you did these a while ago, the a horse went into a bar. There's a lot of those jokes, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Check them out. I made a big list, so. You can lead a horse to water jokes in one place. Horse Nation will hook you up.
If you are furloughed and have nothing better to do, too. Now, let's get to another disturbing brony story, because it seems like we can't go through a morning here at Horses in the Morning without talking about a disturbing brony story. But this one affects Jamie's husband, right?
Yes. I found a good Christmas present for you to give Chad, Jamie.
Make Jamie tell you how much of a big fan she is now.
I'm telling you what, Leslie, when you have a 4.5-month-old and you want to do some cleaning or eat something or do anything besides stare at your child, put them in a baby swing and turn on My Little Pony. It's fascinating for kids. It's awesome.
Yes, well, maybe not even just for kids. One of our writers, Shara Rutberg, found this story about an Air Force class in Oklahoma that decided that they were going to have special My Little Pony themed badges made for their entire mm-hmm. class that they could put on their uniform. It says, "My Little Pilot Flying is Magic." And it's pink and purple. There's a heart and a rainbow on it. And so they all have this on their uniform now. And when Shara further looked into it, she discovered that actually this class is not alone. Military Bronies actually is a Facebook page with almost 10,000 likes.
What? There's a Military Bronies Facebook page?
Is it military guys?
Tell Chad.
He's right here.
Oh, my God, I'm
looking
at it.
Oh, my God, I'm going to right now.
Yeah.
Okay, this is disturbing.
It's not for kids. I was just reading through some of these posts.
Not
real kid friendly.
Not safe for work either.
Yeah, not safe for work either. But yeah, it has these pictures of My Little Ponies in camo with machine guns. So yeah, that's not real. That's definitely maybe the brony demographic, but not the, the kid demographic. Not for your kids,
no.
James.
Could you see your husband, Chad, big bad fighter pilot, one of the best in the country, wearing this pink and purple patch on his uniform?
Now, I have to tell you, I called him in here because I was curious, because he actually has a patch that his class designed. And I just remember going through his stuff, and you know, all these Air Force patches are very much like, you know, very common, and then all of a sudden one stuck out. Now, Chad, can you tell... Please, into the mic, tell everybody what your patch was that they designed for their class.
The Electric Psychedelic Pussycat Swingers Club of 99.
Did you get that? That's why I didn't say it. And it was Austin Powers was on the patch.
Wow.
So
this is a thing. Crazy
yes.
patches.
Yeah, I guess they get to design their own patches. Now, I guarantee that my husband would have raised his hand and said, I don't like it if it was My Little Pony.
has he been forced to watch My Little Pony, too, with the kid? Has he been forced?
You know what's funny is he'll sit at the kitchen table, and I'll have little man in the swing watching My Little Pony, and Lucas, when he watches My Little Pony, he shrieks and he laughs and he giggles and he makes all these noises, and all Chad does is put his head between his hands and go, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's hysterical. I've videoed it. He loves My Little Pony. Like, oh, my God, you sparkle? He's like, oh, we totally sparkle. Yay, let's sparkle together. It's the most entertaining thing for an infant. Why a bunch of grown-ass men want it, I don't know, but entertaining for a four-and-a-half-month-old, yes.
Does Chad or do you, Leslie, do any of you like Prince, you know, the singer Prince?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Who doesn't like Prince?
I don't like him anymore. I'll tell you why. I was never a big fan of Prince. Listen to this. It's two sentences. Soul superstar Prince served up pancakes to fans as he welcomed them into the Paisley Park Studios in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a special pajama party over the weekend. The Purple Rain hitmaker reportedly donned a silk robe over a pair of My Little Pony pants.
I'm going to tell you a story because Leslie's here, and I love to tell celebrity stories when Leslie's on. I was staying. There's a reason why Prince wears My Little Pony, because that man is 3.5 feet tall, and he has to shop in the children's section, without a doubt.
He is a sexy 3-foot tall man.
He's the tiniest little man you've ever seen. I mean, I love When Doves Cry. I can sing every word of When Doves Cry. I love that song. I was in L.A., and I was getting into an elevator, and I was staying at the Regent Beverly Wilshire, Regent Bev Will, staying there, and I got in the elevator to go to my room, and the elevator doors opened, and I looked up and saw the largest, biggest, beefiest, toughest black man I have ever seen in my life. And, I mean, I was scared. And then I looked directly down and in front of him, and there was the tiniest little teeny tiny man I've ever seen. Oh, my God, that's Prince. You're kidding me. So Prince is the teeniest, tiniest little man I've ever seen and has the largest, scariest bodyguards of anybody I've ever seen as well. And I rode in the elevator with those two gentlemen all the way to my floor, and
Did you say anything?
No!
You have had more missed opportunities than anybody I know.
What would you say? Hi, you're tiny. I mean, come on. What are you going to do?
Big voice for such a little guy.
Yeah, I would not have realized that at all. Yeah. But
there's a reason he wears My Little Pony pajamas, Glenn. It's because that's the only size that fits him.
The thing that'll fit.
But that just seems... I love that. A pancake. What is a pancake breakfast in a park hosted by Prince and silk robe and
yeah, apparently
My
he's
Little
been
Pony
doing
pajamas?
This. He's been having
Did you
open
make that up?
He invites everybody. It's called the Breakfast Experience Pajama Pants Party.
I want to go.
Oh, by the way, it starts at 2 a.m. No surprise there. There's
wow.
a sober person in the bunch, which is probably why Prince is in My Little Pony pajamas. They were probably somebody else's when the party started. hey, you have another one on here, too. Tell us about Greta Ostkvall.
Oh, man.
Ostkvall.
So you guys have probably seen some of her work, photos of her work floating around the Internet. They'll surface every now and again on Facebook. But she does these amazing body clip jobs, just super creative clips. And, like, there's one, I think a fairly famous one is she did put sort of a giraffe pattern all over a horse. But she's also done just, she did a zebra. She covered one horse with, like, puzzle pieces of fur. there's one she did. She put bricks all cut, or sort of trimmed bricks into its
skin. Yeah, it looks like a brick house. Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and then there's one with a horse has a spider web over its sort of over its hindquarters. Just super neat clips. And she's, you know, I'm like, wow, that girl's my hero because I hate body clipping worse mm-hmm. than anything. Oh, hair goes everywhere.
Sucks. Don't wear chapstick.
Yes, don't wear chapstick. So we got in touch with her, and she it turns out she's a 19-year-old young woman from New Zealand, and she just sort of she does clips, you know, is kind of a job for people, and then she just sort of did her first clip on her own horse, creative clip as a joke, and then just had so much fun with it. And it turned out so well, she started doing sort of taking on commissioned clips for other people, and just kind of seeing what she could do and taking pictures of it, and just really, really neat stuff. The photos are absolutely worth checking out.
Well, I am going to add that she is not bad looking and looks really good in a bikini on the beach riding a horse. And that particular shot is going to go on Horse Husbands Unite Facebook page. Just downloaded that one right there.
Bad, 19, Glenn. 19.
Over 18.
Yeah, over 18. Fair game. Fair game.
It's not too crazy. Hey, this is really cool. She does a great job. My Little Pony needs. I gotta stop saying that. By the way, thanks to the listener who brought up that every time I say My Little Pony, I say My Little Pony when I'm talking about my pony. So over the weekend, I made a conscious effort after you brought it up on Friday, Jamie, to say My Pony. I've cut out Little from most of the conversations now, thanks to whatever.
My Little Pony.
Maybe I can get her to come over and clip him into something, you know, My Little Pony-ish.
Little Pony-ish. Some little rainbows and stars.
Yes.
What do they all have, like, hearts on their hindquarters?
What a great idea. That's a great idea. So those of you listening, if you do body clipper horses, I want you to leave some sort of mark on the haunches that remind you of My Little Pony, like the little one with the rain clouds or the one with the rainbows on it or something like that. Give us something on the haunches.
That's right. Take a picture.
What are you going to do?
Post it on our page.
Post it on our page. We'll send you a present.
Leslie, thank you for joining us once again. You can find all of this good stuff at horsenation.com. Horsenation.com, you can see all the pictures that we've been talking about. Just scroll down, and you'll see all the various hundreds of stories that she puts up there every week. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, guys.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
Bye, Leslie.
I just Googled
how tall is Prince.
Yeah.
And it says here that it is an undetermined height because while he may appear 5'2", he always wears high heels. So I think he was in slippers and he was three and a half feet tall. I'm pretty sure. 3'6".
Well, you are 5'2". Was he shorter than you?
I'm not kidding you. Now, granted, I was wearing heels, but I looked down at Prince. And I don't look down at anybody. I looked up at the large bodyguard, and then I looked down at Prince, and so I'm telling you, he's a tiny little man.
Are you sure he just didn't look tinier next to the big guy?
Glenn, I'm in an elevator. He's right next to me. I don't look down at anybody. He is, I'm telling you, 3.5 feet tall. It cannot be proven.
Let's bring up your missed opportunities again. Can we name all the celebrities that you have actually stood beside and then were too tongue-tied to actually say anything to?
What am I going to say to Prince? Glenn, please tell me. Hey, how's, like, purple? You know, like, I like that color, too. What am I going to say?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you want to make out in an elevator with your bodyguard watching? Am I going to say that?
You're right. You kind of tell. There are those people, though. There are those people, and you've known them in the, especially in the radio world, that would have no problem. They're those kind of people. I'd be kind of like you. I'd like not think of anything to say. But there are those people that just know the right thing to say, and they end up in this long conversation with them.
Yeah, I bet it bothers the person. I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy. I don't know. Yeah. There's no way I could figure out something in 5 seconds to say to Prince.
True.
So,
and I probably would.
How's it like when doves cry? How'd you come up with that? So Purple Rain, have you ever actually seen Purple Rain? So what am I going to say in an elevator?
True, nobody ever says anything in an elevator. It's a rule.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
You're right. Hey, we're going to give you a little bit of Halloween from now until Halloween, and I got all this Halloween stuff. We do this every year where we take a look at some of the fun stuff around Halloween. I realize it's not my favorite holiday, but it sure is for a lot of people. So I have this year's, and we did this last year, I have this year's top 10 best Halloween pet costumes for 2013. So these are for your dogs and cats. So as you're getting ready to dress up your dog or cat to go trick-or-treating to the Halloween party, here are the top 10 choices. For cats, number 10 on the list for cats is a fairy outfit. Yes, a fairy outfit. I'm sure the Beast would like that a lot and would put up with being dressed in a fairy outfit. He already tries to bite our face off. I can't imagine if we put him in that. He's so embarrassed.
Oh, yeah. No. Cats should not be in outfits. Let me just start with this. Like, you're risking serious injury.
That is true. That is true. You are risking serious injury, especially our cat. Number 9 for the dogs is a bumblebee outfit. I think that's been every year. The bumblebee never goes away, you know, with the little wings on the back and stuff. Bumblebees have hung around for a long time. And by the way, you can't put the bumblebee outfit on a German Shepherd. It just doesn't work.
No.
It has to be a little wimpy dog. Number 8 is a green or any color Crayola crayon. Apparently Crayola crayon outfits are really big this year for dogs. And I got to tell you, I'm looking at a picture of a boxer in a Crayola crayon outfit, and it's pretty funny. I like it. It's pretty funny. The next, Jennifer, or Jamie's going to hate, is realistic pet outfits or costumes are apparently in the stores this year. And here is a boxer in a bacon pet costume. Yes, it looks makes him look like a piece of bacon. And
ooh,
I
oh my gosh.
Have to admit, it's very disturbing. It's very disturbing. Very popular this year, though. Number 6. Number 6 is Uncle Sam dog outfit. I think that they've been around for forever, the Uncle Sam dog outfit. Number 5 of the most embarrassing costumes is a flower. It's a blooming flower, so they have this great big flower around their neck. Once again, do not use that on your average Doberman Pinscher. Probably better on a baby or on a miniature poodle than anything. A little devil outfit on a cat. And that would be most appropriate for ours. Matter of fact, he doesn't even need the outfit. He just looks like one all the time. Number 3 is a doctor outfit on a dog, which actually I kind of find disturbing in a few ways. So
really?
I'm just saying.
Why?
Yeah, it has the doctor coat and the little stethoscope. It's just kind of disturbing. Number 2 on the list is pumpkin outfits for your guinea pig. Apparently, you can now buy guinea pigs. Do you still have guinea pigs, by the way?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, okay. Well, then don't bother buying the pumpkin outfit. You don't need it. And number one is Batman outfits are the most popular outfit for dogs and cats this year. So if you want your pet to look like Batman, you can find the outfits for it. Now, that is an appropriate outfit for a Doberman or something like that. Rottweilers would look good in the Batman outfit. Probably not so much a pug. But there's
now,
the top 10.
I'm posting online right now a link on our Facebook page that says 26 reasons that 26 costumes that prove pugs always win at Halloween. And
oh, really?
Two words, Darth Pug.
That's pretty good. I'll have to check those out. I love pictures of dogs in costumes for some reason. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being here. We also want to thank highvisibility.us.com for sponsoring the Horse Nation Report today and for LeaseWorks for being part of the show. And, of course, Omega Alpha was our title sponsor. We'll be back tomorrow with Lindsay White from Riders for Helmets and with our monthly safety day, something new we're starting, and that'll happen on the last, the fourth Tuesday of the month. So we'll be back. And then you're going to be back on Wednesday. We haven't even talked about schedule this year. Are you going to be here, or this week, are you going to be here on Wednesday?
I don't have anywhere else to go. I'll be here.
Okay. Well, you might as well show up then. So we'll see you all on later in the week, and we'll see you on Wednesday, Jamie, for the Wheel of Trivia.
Sounds great. Talk to you all then. Spay, neuter, and geld.
Hey, everybody. That's by your dog's costume. Just left out.
Lord of the Pugs, Maryland Pug Row. It's the little
pug
maid.
You don't have.
Gotta check this out. It's a pug nana.